The sermon title today is, What is Your Position? Last week I mentioned three things that I want to have happen in your life every time that you come to church. Number one, that you will feel the presence of God's Spirit in and on and around your life. So that is my number one goal, is that when you come to the house of the Lord as pastors, we want you to be surrounded by the presence of God, that God's Spirit would touch your life, that God's Spirit would surround you and be in your life. And do you feel His presence today? I've heard people say when they come in the church doors, when I pull into the parking lot, I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to do a new work in each and every one of our lives. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. Number two, that your life would come in contact with the Word of God. In John 17, 17, it says, your word is truth. My goal each and every service. So is number one, that you will feel the presence of God in your life. Number two, you will experience the truth of God's Word. And before we go to number three, I want to briefly review number one and two and explain why they are so important in your life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's a scripture you're also very, very familiar with. Romans 8, in verse 28, and verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also, these He also justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Called to His purpose. Psalms 139 verse 14 says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of God, created in God's image with a plan and a purpose for each and every one of our lives. Everyone is born for a reason. Everyone is born with a plan and purpose in their life. Romans 8:28, it says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It was foreordained. What does this mean? It was foreordained Christ would come and He would die for us, making redemption available for all of mankind. Verse 29, it says, we are conformed to His image. Yes, there would be a family of God, the bride of Christ, the church that would become Christ-like in their walk. Philippians 1 verse 6 says He will complete the work that God has started in each and every one of your lives. That work is sanctification. That work is to develop Christ-like characteristics into each and every one of your lives. So think about it. God has said, the work that I have started in your life, I will complete it. I will finish it. Sanctification is an ongoing work from the time that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior until you leave this earth. That each and every day He's working on our behalf in each and every one of our lives to transform us into the image of Jesus. That's why when we read verse 28, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good, that even the bad things, the ugly things that we go through in life, we know that the Lord is going to use that for good in our life, that we can believe that and we can trust that. So how does He do that? How does He do the work of sanctification? We are sanctified by His Word, the Scripture says, and we are sanctified by His Spirit. The Spirit does a cleansing and separating in our life. When we're involved in the Word of God, the Word of God does a cleansing and separating in our life. His Word, His Spirit brings change to each and every one of our lives. The church is a social entity. But more importantly, the church is a spiritual entity. Everything the church does must be connected to His Spirit and to His Word. Think about that. We have churches out there today that have just become social churches. The only reason that they are in existence is so they can have community dinners, they can have community fellowships, they can have this and they can have that, trying always to appeal to the fleshly side of an individual's life. But God says that's not how it's supposed to work. We're not only a social entity, but we are a spiritual entity. We want everyone to be interfaced or come face to face with the presence of God in their life and also the Word of God, because the Spirit of God and the Word of God is what bring changes to people's lives. So my goal, our goal for you in every service is to, number one, to experience the presence of God, and number two, to experience the truth of God's Word. Romans 8:10-17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But yes, there is a third goal. And the third thing is to teach you righteousness. What is righteousness? We can simply say being upright before God in everything that we say, everything that we do, or everything that we think. But if we go a little bit deeper than that, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. It seems confusing when you read verse 18, but when you read that, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. In other words, there's a separation between us and our Heavenly Father that no one can cross over. There's no one of us, through our own righteousness, can get back into a relationship with our Heavenly Father. But we can get back through that relationship to our Heavenly Father, only through Jesus Christ. And when we accept Him, we are brought back into a heavenly relationship with our Heavenly Father. So He goes on to say that He has reconciled us to Him through Christ. And verse 19, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So when we say that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation, what do? We want people to experience the presence of God. We want people to come face to face with the Word of God, because that will bring them to change of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they themselves will be reconciled to their Heavenly Father. We want all of Marion County, the state of Iowa, and the United States to be reconciled to their Heavenly Father, because that's what brings changes to our lives. That's what changes a world. That's what changes a nation, is one soul at a time being reconciled to their Heavenly Father, and He is pleading through us. Verse 21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Him. There is a righteousness that comes from God that we can only attain only through our faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, mankind, no matter how good he thinks he can get, he cannot save himself. In Romans chapter 5, he says, Christ died for us while we were yet without strength. We could not save ourselves. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says this. It says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. What you have to bring to God is nothing. You must bring Jesus to the Lord through your relationship with Him, to the Heavenly Father, to be reconciled back to your Heavenly Father. Only through Christ and His righteousness can we be saved. Gaining a righteousness in God through our faith in Christ. This places us in a right standing relationship with our Father. But there is also an overall righteousness that comes from our everyday living. living by Christ's example through God's righteousness. God is righteous. We are to follow Him all that we do, all that we think, and all that we say. Now turn with me to Psalms 111. Psalms 111. Psalms 111 and 112 gives us an overall picture of the righteousness of God and the righteous person who follows after God's ways. So Psalm 111, verse 1, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has good food to those who fear Him. He will never be mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people and the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The work of His hands are verity and justice, and all His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever. In other words, you can stand on the Word of God. His way is pure, His way is true, and it endures forever because we serve an unchanging God. So we can stand on the promises of God's Word today. We could stand on them 50 years from ago. And you know, if the Lord would tarry 25 years from now, now we'll still be able to stand on the Word of God, because the Word of God is true. The Word of God is pure. It is without any kind of a wrong in it whatsoever. To believe that and to accept that, we, as the righteousness of God, proclaim that to be true. He goes on to say in verse 9, He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding of all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Now, Psalm 112, we're just going to read the first few verses of it. Praise be the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion, and surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. What are we saying? God's ways are pure. They are true. His ways are right. I will praise Him through my life. I will live my life honoring God. That is righteousness. So let's review. Our goal as pastors for every service for you is to, number one, to experience the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number two, that your life comes in contact with the Word of God. So every service that you come to, this is our goal in each and every person's life, is for you to experience the presence of God, that you will experience face-to-face the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number one and number two brings change to your life, developing Christ-likeness. Number three was teaching righteousness. What does it do? It positions you to be blessed. And that's what this whole sermon is about, is right now. Think about this. Are you living your life in a way that positions you to be blessed? Think about the couples that become married that are unequally yoked. One's a believer, one's not a believer. And think about the couples that end up in divorce today because they have not positioned themselves to be blessed. You have to think about that in everything that you do and everything you say. If you're going to do business dealings with people, what am I going to do in that business dealing that is going to position myself to be blessed? Young people, if you're going to get married and you are a believer, don't be marrying an unbeliever. Why? Because you're not positioning yourself to be blessed. In everything that we do, we want to position ourselves in a righteous relationship with our Heavenly Father, that we know that I am in a position that I can be blessed of God. So when I am in a relationship that is not in a position to be blessed of God, we should never wonder why we're not blessed. So we talk about couples, you know, in the church today, live-in relationships are accepted. They're accepted in so many churches. They're not accepted in God's eyes because it is still classified as a sin. If you're in a live-in relationship, it's not that you're not a good person. We talked about the love of God. The love of God does not change. The love of God does not change whether you accept Him or whether you reject Him, because He sent His only begotten Son so you could have life. That love is there forever. God is love. So if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you accept His righteousness, you're brought back into the family. But for those that have never accepted Jesus, God still loves them. But they are making the choice not to be in fellowship with the Heavenly Father. So no one is being sent to hell by God. You're choosing your own destination. So we choose what we want in our life. I want to be blessed. Everyone in this church wants to be blessed of God. So what do we need to do is think about how we are positioning ourselves in each and every one of our lives, that I am entering into a position that I can be blessed. Young boys and girls, don't marry people that are unbelievers, because you're not putting yourself in a position to be blessed. So that's what you need to tell that young boy or that young girl. You need to come to church with me. And they say, well, I'm not going to come to church. I'm sorry, I can't have a relationship with you. I'm sorry, I would like to develop a relationship with you, but I cannot, because I am taking myself out of a position with God that I can be blessed, and I want to be blessed. Giving is another example. I talk about giving less than probably any pastor that you've ever come in contact with. And I will say this, that our churches that Carol and I have pastored have always been blessed financially. Because the reason I talk about it less than a lot of pastors is because I believe that God is my provider and that He is going to provide for His work. It's supposed to come through you. Children of God, you're supposed to pay your tithes. And monies are supposed to come into the household of God through the family of God. But I know that if you stop giving, I know that God's still going to give to this ministry, because it can be somebody driving along the road that doesn't even know us. They'll stop in and write you out a check. Because God is our provider. Do you believe that God is your provider?
Amen.
God is your provider. You are not your provider. Now, I don't care how many times you think, well, I work overtime and I've gained this and I've gained that and I've done this and I've done that. God provided those opportunities so you could bring money into your family. He is your provider. He is the one that's provided that opportunity. He's the one that provided that money. And what I am doing is I am just sharing back with my Heavenly Father. Do you know what really my concern is with people who do not tithe? Do you think it's that we're not going to make the church payment? No, it's not. Do you afraid the pastors aren't going to get paid? That's very little concern of mine, because God is my provider. What concerns me more than anything else is that family is not putting themselves in a position where God can bless them. That's what it's about. Is our righteousness is living after the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and living in such a way that I know that I am upright before my Heavenly Father. And if I am living a life that is upright before my Heavenly Father, the Scripture says He will open the windows of heaven and pour out His blessings upon me. I pray that God will pour out His blessings upon this church and everyone in it. I want everyone in here to become rich. And you know what? You are rich because you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. We thank Him. The tithing principle is very much the truth. If you give sparingly, you will reap sparingly, because you're positioning yourself with God and your Heavenly Father sparingly. So in closing, what is your position? That was the title of the sermon. Is your life positioned righteously? Is your family positioned righteously to be blessed? And the challenge is, what's one thing you and your family can change today that will better position yourself to be blessed? You know, I never have given anything to the Lord thinking I was planning on getting anything back. Ever. Carol and I tithe. And we were and there's people that say, well, you know what? I give this to the church, and I did that for the church, and I did that for the church. Don't even go there. Because the scripture says we're supposed to tithe, and a tithe is 10%. Don't try to change it into something it's not, because Satan is trying to fool you with that. Well, why is he trying to fool you that with that? Because you're taking yourself out of a position to be blessed. I know a lot of people in this church that give willingly, happily, and God has blessed their life over and abundantly. And he wants to bless your life over and abundantly. But you got to cross the line with him. You got to come over to where you're living in a righteous position to where you can be under that blessing. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. And God wants to bless you. If there's one thing that you could change in your life and in your family today, what would it be? Do you need to spend more time in the Word? Do you need to spend more time in prayer? What needs to change in your life to better position yourself to be blessed of God, so that when Pastor Leo says, Father, I pray that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings upon this congregation, you're going to be standing right under that windfall because of your position of righteousness with God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, the work of sanctification is ongoing in each and every one of our lives, transitioning us, changing us into the very image of your Son, always working to put us in a better position to be blessed by you. And Father, we want your blessings. And Father, I pray that, Lord, whatever that was that you spoke by the Holy Spirit into their life, what was that one thing that you spoke into them? I pray that, Father, every believer in this room will respond to that. And, Father, they will do what you desire for them to do in their life. May we not leave this sermon here, but all of us take it home, because there's something that we can all be working on today to better our position and our position with you. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, as we leave this place this week, that you would open the windows of heaven and you'd pour out your blessings upon all of the faithful today. I ask this all today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a great week.